Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So last January, we started through the Bible in a year in this sermon series called The Bigger Story. The idea was that it's so easy for us to get focused on ourselves and on our own stories, on the things that matter to us the most. And we kind of forget about everybody else and everything else because we're just so focused on ourselves. And the idea was to recognize that we're part of God's bigger story. That God has been working in our world for a very long time in the stories of the Bible, but that he's still active and involved in our life today. So back in January, we would have started in Genesis chapter 1. And I heard about how God created the world and that he created us as well. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then we heard that God didn't just create the world, but he created us. Says God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And we heard about how we fell into sin. That's in chapter 3 of Genesis. And we heard about all that happened and about the Israelites and how God worked in their lives. And eventually, the good choices they made, the bad choices they made. Eventually, we went all the way into the New Testament. We heard the prophecies in Isaiah about this coming Messiah and this one that God had chosen to save his people, and that's Jesus. You know, this would have been John 3:16. We heard that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that all those who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. Now, more recently, we've been going through the New Testament, and the last few weeks I've been really focused on the book of Revelation, talking about the hope that we have, not just for this life, but for the next. In Revelation 21, we heard, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That God promises us a new heaven and a new earth, and that he will make us new one day. But today I really want to talk about specifically not just how God has a plan for the world, but a plan specifically for you. And this comes from Jeremiah 29:11, which was our first reading today. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I want to get across to you today that God has a plan for your life. And if you can believe that God has a plan for you, specifically a plan for your life, I want you to ask yourself, have you ever asked him what it is? And if you're willing to seek out God's plan for your life, if you knew what his plan was or just had an inkling, would you change your plans to fit his plans? Would you be willing to adapt what you want, your hopes, your dreams to fit what he wants for you? Because that's a lot harder. God has a plan for your life, but he's not the only one. The devil has a plan for your life as well. And what is the devil's plan for your life? Well, it's probably hard to quite understand, but I guess in general, he wants you to not do what God wants you to do. And then you have this other plan, and that's like your plans. What are your plans? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Which one is that? Are you doing what God wants or what the devil wants? It's sometimes hard to figure that out, I understand. In Proverbs chapter 16:9, it says, in a man's heart, he makes his plans, but the Lord establishes his steps, or the Lord establishes his course. I think we need to ask ourselves, when we have our dreams, when we have our plans, our desires, We say, whose plan am I following? You know, what, am I just doing it because I want it this way? These are the things I want, and I want God to bless whatever I want to do. Or are we saying, God, what do you want for me? I think there's a great example for us to sort of learn how to do this. It comes from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14. And you've probably heard of this story. Mark 14, it's Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Think about it. Jesus calls to his heavenly daddy. Abba just means daddy. Daddy, Father, take it from me. I don't want to go to the cross and die. Maybe Jesus had a better plan that wasn't going to involve suffering, that he didn't want to have to deal with. He didn't want to be betrayed. He didn't want to go through all of this. Said, I can save everybody doing it a different way. Says, take it from me. But then at the end of this, he says something really important that I think we really need to hear. He says, yet not what I will, but what you will. And I kind of like the King James Version better, like, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus says. Says, I have another plan. I could do it another way, but whatever you want, not what I want. So God has a plan for your life, and I know you probably have your own plans. We all do, our own dreams, our own ideas. But I think we should really ask God, what do you want for me? What do you want? Do you want me to do it this way, or do you have a different way of doing it? Because I want to follow it your way. How we do things really does matter to God. A long time ago, a lot of you probably remember it, but when we were adopting Stephen, and I remember following God as he was working through Christy to do that, and one of the big struggles or questions we had was, how are we going to pay for this? And I remember I was praying. I point back here because that's usually where I pray. And when I was praying about it, I was like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get this money? And God encouraged me to stop putting into my retirement. you know how you're supposed to? I mean, first of all, I teach Financial Peace University. The smartest thing you can do is to put money away for retirement, and the younger, the better, okay? You just put it in there, and the interest accrues over a period of time. It's a wonderful idea. So I was like, God, what do you want? You want me to stop putting money away for retirement and just take it as income to pay for this? And he's like, that's right. And I was like, well, that's a stupid idea. You know, I just know that. It's not a good idea. And what am I going to do when I need to retire? And I remember God telling me, who says you're going to live to retirement? And I know I've told you this before in a sermon. But it's just like, the point is, I don't think he was saying I'm going to die early. Maybe. But, you know, it's just the point is, like, what we think is smart and wise doesn't necessarily fit into God's plan. God said he wanted me to do it in a way that might not make sense to the world. But see, I always believe that doing it God's way is the right way. So I did it. I guess we'll find out. But I feel like if God wanted me to do it a different way, he would have told me. It's just, we have to ask ourselves, you know, if we feel like God wants us to do something, how does he want us to do it? Really matters too. In, I think it's Mark chapter 10, there's this story of a rich young ruler. And he comes and he asks Jesus how to inherit eternal life. Yeah, there it is. And Jesus says, well, follow the commandments. And he says, yep, I did all those. And Jesus looked at him and loved him, it says. One thing you lack. He said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You know, this rich young ruler, do I think that God just stopped loving him? No, I think he loved him. He's working with this man's life for the rest of his life. But think about what this man missed out on. He didn't get to see Jesus calm the storm. He didn't get to see Jesus and Peter walk on water. You know, he wasn't there for all the miracles. He missed out on all of that just because he couldn't do what God wanted him to do. He wanted to do it his own way. He didn't want to follow Jesus' way. There's an interesting devotional in this Experiencing God devotional. I remembered reading it, and it took me a while. I had the page. Of course, it was in October, like one page at a time. I had to find it again. And it's called Trusting God's Wisdom. The fundamental premise of Christianity is that God knows what is best better than we do. When we're experiencing God's blessings, it's easy to believe that God knows what is best. But when God allows sickness and sorrow in our lives, we may be tempted to question his wisdom. The Lord told King Hezekiah that his life was coming to an end. God advised him to prepare himself for death and to make arrangements to turn over the kingdom. Instead, Hezekiah pled for his life, begging God to spare him from death. God loved the righteous Hezekiah and, in his grace, granted him an additional 15 years to live. Those 15 years would prove that God's wisdom far exceeds human wisdom. During those added years, Manasseh was born, and he eventually succeeded Hezekiah as king of Judah. Manasseh, who reigned for 55 years, was the most evil king ever to rule over Judah. Manasseh encouraged the worship of idolatry throughout the nation. He passed his own son through fire according to the abominable practices of idolatry. He shed much innocent blood during his reign. Every part of the nation suffered from his cruelty. Manasseh's wickedness provoked God to anger, but Manasseh ignored God's warnings. All these hardships were caused by Manasseh, a king who would never have been born if Hezekiah had accepted God's will for his life. So much suffering resulted from Hezekiah's unwillingness to accept God's will for him. God knows what is best. Whether your circumstances are easy or difficult, you can completely trust his guidance. Now, this is an interesting devotional because it sort of brings up a lot of questions like, well, am I not supposed to pray when I'm sick? You know, am I not supposed to do that? Am I not supposed to pray when someone else gets sick? Why would that be a bad thing? I think the key to this is that Hezekiah knew God's will. He says, God told him, you're going to die, make arrangements. And he says, actually, God, I have other plans. And sometimes what God will let you have what you want. It's sort of a punishment, I guess, or a discipline. Like, I'll let you have exactly what you want because in the end, it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to. I just want you to think about you know, Hezekiah, he thought that the worst thing in the world was going to be to die. God says, actually, that wasn't going to be the worst thing in the world. My grandpa, and my grandma, actually, I guess it's two stories in one. But my grandpa had Parkinson's, and he was like in a nursing home for a couple of years. You know, he was always out doing something. He worked from the day he was 15 years old as a KG&E electrician. And then a foreman, he was always active. And now he was just laying in a bed all of his life, and he had a brain bleed. And they called me, I don't know why they called me, but they said, do you think we should do surgery to help Grandpa out? He only has a 5% chance of survival. And I was like, no, let Grandpa die. Like, I mean, he's gonna go to heaven, like this is great. They did do the surgery after all, and he survived, and he spent another couple of years in the nursing home, and then he died. Now, I don't know for sure what God's will is, but I just felt like at the time, going to heaven isn't the worst thing. Like, he's a Christian. It might look bad to us here on earth, like death is like the worst, but like for a Christian, to go to be with Jesus is like the best thing. My grandma, later on, she had a surgery just sort of to make her life a little better in the nursing home, and very small chance of survival again, and she was very nervous about it. And one of the few times I've said something good and profound, I told Grandma, I said, either you're going to wake up to the smiling eyes of your family or to the smiling face of Jesus. I mean, it's a win-win. I know that in the wisdom of the world, death is like the worst thing, but in God's wisdom, it's not. Sometimes he does want us to live longer, and we don't always know why, okay? But sometimes he says, now is the time to come home. And I'd say, that's awesome, right? Because God has this great plan for us, not just here on earth, but a plan for your future, eternal, an eternal hope. I mean, this is what it says in John chapter 14, right? It says, I go to prepare a place for you. that I will take you to be with me. If we believe that God has a plan for us here on earth, we also can believe that God has a plan for us after our lives on this earth are over. I want to go one more place because I think it's important to remember that following God's plan might not always look the best according to what we think. This comes from our second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God has a plan for your life, and sometimes it might mean experiencing something really difficult, something really hard, something you don't want to go through. But you know that God says this is the right way of doing it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that when we experience trials, that sometimes these trials are just like gold being purified in fire. Like, it doesn't feel good, but it's proving the genuineness of our faith. So you can't always know, just because if God's telling you to do something and bad things happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that you were wrong or that he's wrong. It just means that there's something hard you're having to go through. And you might say, well, that doesn't make sense. Think about the book of Job. If you've ever read the book of Job, Job was a righteous man, hadn't done anything wrong, and the devil wanted to test him, and God let him. And Job's family died. All of his possessions were taken away. He got sick. He got all these skin disease. Okay, now eventually, by the end of like chapter 66 or whatever, things turned out okay for Job. He had more kids. He had twice as many possessions. The skin disease was healed. But for a long time, Job had to be wondering, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. God never said he did anything wrong. Sometimes, based on our worldly wisdom, things don't seem to be going well. And we wonder, is this right? But God says, trust my plan and trust the way I'm doing it. I just want to encourage you to know that God has a plan for you. And then to ask him, to seek it out, find out how. How do you do that? Well, you pray, you read your Bible, you ask people who love you, other Christians, you listen to sermons online or in person, and you say, God, what do you want for me? What should I do about this? Now, if he doesn't answer you, I don't know what to say, but don't just assume he's not going to answer you and don't ask. Ask him. And if you feel like you're supposed to do something, if you kind of get the sense that, you know, I should be doing it this way, follow that. I mean, listen to him. Because doing it God's way is going to end up better for you in the long run. I want to just encourage you to not give up hope no matter what you might be going through right now, and to not give up seeking and asking, knocking, praying to God that he would show you what his will is for your life and to show you how exactly he wants you to do it. We're at the beginning of a new year. This is a great time to do it. What do you want for me? Don't make your own resolutions. Ask God, what do you want for me in the year ahead? How do you want me to do it? Do I need to change something in my life? What do you want for my life? And then yield it up to God and let him take care of it. Why don't we pray? Dearest Heavenly Father, I know everybody in here has a dream, has a plan for their life. But Lord, we ask that it would not be our will, but your will that's done in our lives. I pray that you would speak to each person here, everyone who's watching. Help them to know what it is you want for them, even if you need us to adapt, even if you need them to change their course, to be more in line with your will. I pray that you would do that for them. I pray that you would turn all of our hearts back to you, help us to repent from the things we're doing wrong, and to seek your face, to do your will in the way you want us to do it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.